And so it went, a meditation on a fallen world. While the boys next to me doodled on their church bulletin, Reverend Wright spoke of Sharpsville and Hiroshima, the callousness of policymakers in the White House and in the State House. As the sermon unfolded, though, the stories of strife became more prosaic, the pain more immediate. The Reverend spoke of the hardship that the congregation would face tomorrow, the pain of those far from the mountaintop, worrying about paying the light bill, but also the pain of those closer to the metaphorical summit, the middle-class woman who seems to have all her worldly needs taken care of, but whose husband is treating her like the maid, the house service, the jitney service, and the escort service all rolled into one. The child whose wealthy parents worry more about the texture of the hair on the outside of the head than the quality of the education inside the head. Isn't that the world that each of us stands on? Yes, sir. Like Hannah, we've known bitter times. Daily we face rejection and despair. Say it now. And yet consider once again the painting before us. Hope! Like Hannah, that harpist is looking upwards, a few faint notes floating upward toward the heavens. She dares to hope. She has the audacity to make music and praise God on the one string she has left. People began to shout, to rise from their seats and clap and cry out, a forceful wind carrying the Reverend's voice up into the rafters. As I watched and listened from my seat, I began to hear all the notes from the past 3 years swirl about me. The courage and fear of women like Ruby, the race pride and anger of men like Rafik, the desire to let go, the desire to escape, the desire to give oneself up to a God that could somehow put a floor on despair. And in that single note, hope, I heard something else. At the foot of that cross, inside the thousands of churches across the city, I imagined the stories of ordinary black people merging with the stories of David and Goliath, Moses and Pharaoh, the Christians in the lion's den, Ezekiel's field of dry bones. These stories of survival and freedom and hope became our story, my story. The blood that had spilled was our blood, the tears our tears. Until this black church, on this bright day, seemed once more a vessel carrying the story of a people into future generations and into a larger world. Our trials and triumphs became at once unique and universal, black and more than black. In chronicling our journey, the stories and songs gave us a means to reclaim memories that we didn't need to feel shamed about, memories more accessible than those of ancient Egypt, memories that all people might study and cherish, and with which we could start to rebuild. And if a part of me continued to feel that this Sunday communion sometimes simplified our condition, that it could sometimes disguise or suppress the very real conflicts among us, and would fulfill its promise only through action, I also felt, for the first time, how that spirit carried within it, nascent, incomplete, the possibility of moving beyond our narrow dreams. The audacity of hope! I still remember my grandmother singing in the house, "There's a bright side somewhere, don't rest till you find it." The audacity of hope! Times when we couldn't pay the bills, times when it looked like I wasn't ever going to amount to anything. At the age of 15, busted for grand larceny auto theft, and yet and still my mama and daddy would break into a song. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord. And it made no sense to me, this singing. Why were they thanking him for all of their troubles, I'd ask myself. But see, I was only looking at the horizontal dimensions of their lives. I didn't understand that they were talking about the vertical dimension, about their relationship to God. I didn't understand that they were thanking him in advance for all that they dared to hope for in me. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for not letting go of me when I let go of you. Oh, yes, Jesus, I thank you. And the choir lifted back up into song, and the congregation began to applaud those who were walking to the altar to accept Reverend Wright's call, and I felt a light touch on the top of my hand. I looked down to see the older of the two boys sitting beside me, his face slightly apprehensive as he handed me a pocket tissue. Beside him, his mother glanced at me with a faint smile before turning back toward the altar. It was only when I thanked the boy that I felt the tears running down my cheeks. Oh, Jesus, I heard the older woman beside me whisper softly. Thank you for carrying us this far.